Buddha said, I discovered that profound truth, which is so difficult to perceive, so difficult to understand, so tranquilizing and sublime, which is not to be gained by mere reasoning, by the mind. It is only visible to the wise. The world, however, is given away to pleasure, delighted with pleasure, enchanted with pleasure. Truly, such human beings will never understand the law of karma and their own conditioning. Yet, there are some human beings whose eyes are only a little covered with dust. They will understand the truth slowly, slowly. This is who the Buddhas are talking to. There are some human beings whose eyes are only a little covered with dust. They might understand the truth. This is the difficulty for an awakened one to share the profound truth. He said, I discovered the profound truth, so difficult to perceive, difficult to understand. Why is it so difficult to understand? Because it's too simple and you are too complicated. That is what I call the whole homework, is to make more space inside so you can be more receptive, more open. Because the truth is very simple. But you have to make space for it. Because it's very powerful. In fact, it can blow you away. If you are too narrow, too tight inside, you can never understand because it's too vast, too big. The more spacious, the more empty you are, the easier it is to receive it. So the whole teaching of Buddha is not to get more, is to empty, to make space. I discovered the profound truth, so difficult to perceive, so difficult to understand, so tranquilizing and sublime. Which is not to be gained by mere reasoning. It is only visible to the wise. And who is the wise? The wise is those who are more innocent. This world, however, is given away to pleasure. Enchanted with pleasure. Truly, such human beings will hardly understand the law of karma, of their own conditioning. if people are lost in desires, in pleasure, in this world, they will never think about what they are doing, what they are creating for themselves. Because the mind, the desires, the pleasure in itself always take you away to the next. And it's never fulfilling. Just for a brief moment, and then again, something new. That is going in a circle. And the Buddhas are known to get you out of the circle. But only when you have come to a point where you are ready to take in the truth. It is not enough to just listen. You have to imbibe it. You have to understand it. You have to look at yourself and see your own situation. So Buddha is saying, what is the point? This is the dilemma with all the masters, all the gurus. What is the point? Who is there that can understand? Most people are lost in their dreams. Then he said, there is still in between there are human beings whose eyes are only a little covered with dust. They will understand the truth. They will understand the truth if they come in contact with the Buddha. Otherwise, they cannot understand. And depending on this layer of dust on your eyes, on your being, that's how quick it is. How easy it is or how difficult it is. If it's just a thin layer, it's very quick. If it's a thick layer, it's difficult. That's why the path is very individual. The truth is one, but the journey back is very individual. Beloved Swaha, I write, but I am without words, without questions. I feel surrounded only by gratitude, happy. And with this feeling, I wait for satsang, like a drop of dew waiting for the morning sun. At your feet, Swami Dhyan Moda. No, by chance, Dhyan Moda, I know who Dhyan Moda is. No, you start using this name again because now you have again reconnected with something beautiful in you that you had forgotten. At one point, when you got this name from Osho or from Pune, then something was alive in you. Then it fell asleep. Now it again is waking up, is reconnected. And as soon as you are reconnected, then life becomes a gift. I'm very happy because I was waiting for you. That's why the master has his own ways. He has to trick you. He has to talk to you. He has to tickle you. He has to invite you to dinner. He has to kick you in the butt. He has to kiss you. He has to tell you a story. He has so many ways through love, through silence, through words, through actions. Maybe something will touch you. So this is the situation now. This is just a sign that something beyond words has been touched. That is very difficult to express. Words are too small. And that is beautiful because the real is beyond words, is beyond action, is beyond any gesture. Only in silence, only in love can it be felt. That understanding, that is more, something magical. No matter how you try to figure things out, or your mind is set, suddenly one happening and everything changed. Because now you have felt it, that's the whole thing. It's nothing to think about, it's a realization, it's an insight. Then you cannot deny it. That is the proof that something has touched you. That's why I said you cannot do love, you cannot do surrender. It happens. And when it happens, you are grateful. I write, but I'm without words, without questions. I feel surrounded only by gratitude, happy. And with this feeling, I wait for satsang, like a drop of dew waiting for the morning sun. At your feet, Dhyan Mudra. Very nice. Just try to stay there in that space of gratitude, then everything changes. Osho said that gratitude, humbleness, arise only when you have experienced what the Master is trying to express in so many ways, through words, actions, love, silence, through every possible way, because that experience is something inexpressible. It is something inexpressible. Because it is from the beyond, that is what the Masters wants to show you, to remind you of the beyond, of something that is bigger, vaster, more mysterious than you. In every way they are trying. But remember, whatever they are talking about, whatever they are, their action is, how they are behaving, if it is a true master, is only pointing to that. No, since you are so new, must be ready for a new name now. Venu, how's your butt? You can sit, okay? Huh?
I do my best.
You do your best? Did you bring spaghetti with you?
He didn't.
You did? No?
Because they have a good Thai pasta here.
Thai pasta?
Pad Thai.
That's good. You have to leave your whole Italian-ass and go beyond. And that's a great sign that when you are with your master, you forget even about spaghetti. Then is hope even for the Italian. And that is the sign when spaghetti is gone from the mind, then you know something big guy is taking over. And you can have pad thai now, but soon that will also be gone. Beloved Babaji, yesterday in satsang I experienced a new and total emptiness, a strong, magnificent and sweet nothingness. Then, when the emptiness disappeared, a fear came out from the mind and a deep tiredness too. In the last weeks I have been passing through a tough time. I fell down while skating on ice. I won't ask myself why the hell I decided to do such a silly activity for an Italian lady like me. That's how we learn. People like you and Jaitang and Siddhartha and these people, they have to learn the hard way. And there's many of them. They have to get hurt before they realize, oh, maybe next time I take a little more slowly. Vimal also. Vimal even managed to fall in the gutter outside here. Feeling so happy, not the retreat is looking at the full moon, pump. He fell and hurt himself. And what is the master saying? Look at the moon, but be aware where your feet is. That is the art. It's not this or that, it's both. That is the art of living. If you choose problem, both. That's why you don't see the Buddhas walking, looking. They sit and look at the moon. So till that day, you are finished with running around, even when looking at the moon, you will fall and hurt yourself. Simple things are difficult to understand. Italian ladies also, they shouldn't ice skate like that. And then I hurt my sacrum. It was so painful that I asked my beloved friend Mukunda to give me some body sessions. So we have been working on my butt, no, body, for some time. Take some work to work on that Italian butt. Dipani had the same thing. I know it's very painful, it takes a long time. All the time feeling your loving and strong support. And what happened was that he touched and reached me in a very deep way, in the deep core, and in an inexplicable way he removed my thick and strong armor and gave me the opportunity to contact my deepest levels. Since that moment I felt totally different. in a way I can't easily explain. I felt upside down, facing my profound fears, touching my vulnerability and my loneliness. And the mind started to take over me, trying desperately to build up a new armor, getting me confused all the time and trying to close the doors of the heart. And the mind used a very scary weapon, letting me feel totally disconnected both from myself, from my heart, and from reality. Lost somewhere, almost disappearing. It has been quite difficult to face all this and to keep the heart open, grounded, and connected with you and with my true self. The disciple has to go through many, many tests to see how steady you are, how dedicated you are. Remember, it's always moving, always growing. So this needed to happen so you can go deeper, to get out of your old, because you have always been a kind of smart ass. But it doesn't work anymore. You have to become real. A disciple is somebody who is disappearing more and more with the master, melting with the master. A student is somebody who wants to learn more and more. A student and the master is just from the head. But the disciple has to come from the heart. And when you are first touched, then it's very difficult to forget it. But that connection will be tested again and again. How important that is for you. Because life has so many other things. And the habit is so strong, it's so easy to forget. You get entangled. That is how it always has been. That's why all the gurus, all the masters say you have to be focused. You have to be dedicated. You have to be 100%. It's not only some words. The deeper you go, the more you will understand. It's not like you need to do it, but if you want to grow, if you want to be free, that is the way. It's no other way. Because you have forgotten. The master reminds you. He shows you what is possible. So it's very tempting. But the habit is that your consciousness is not so clear. So you fall asleep. Then fear comes up, doubt comes up, dreams comes up. Then you have to start again. It has been quite difficult to face all this and to keep the heart open, grounded and connected to you and with my true self. Me and your true self, there is no difference. If you are connected with your true self, you are connected with me. The outer guru is just there to reconnect you with your inner guru. Sometimes people say, oh, we have lost connection with you. I don't feel you. No, because it means you don't feel yourself. You are gone. You don't take responsibility over yourself. You have no idea. You are confused. I'm always here. God is always here. Consciousness is always here. Love is always there. And if that is not there, then know very well that you must be somewhere else. But you are so used to blaming the outside. That's why the connection and the dedication and the focus is so important. I know it's not easy. Normally it's not easy. Because you are so tangled up, like Buddha said 2,500 years ago, with desires, with pleasure, with dreams, with ideas. And especially when you're coming in and you start reading, how easy, and Baba said it's so easy. Easy is right. Yes, it is. Easy is very right, and right is easy, but not for you yet. Don't fool yourself. You have to be dedicated. There was a great enlightened being called Nisargadatta Maharaj. He was not interested in any spirituality. Just a very simple man, poor family. Then one of his friends said, "You have to come and meet my guru. I have a great guru." And he resisted, "No, I'm not interested. I'm going to go and have a mango lassi instead." And this went on, and at last, one day he said, "Okay, this friend, one of his best friends, he didn't give up. Come, you have to come." "Okay, I come." Then he went, and the meeting was such, because he was so innocent, and the master who became his guru, his master, he said that, "You don't know anything. You are not the one you think you are." And this made such an impact in him, because he felt the truth in it. You are not the one you have been thinking you are. You have to find out who you are. And he said, "Be focused on the guru, on I am." That means be focused on yourself. Or what Buddha would say, be focused on the breath. Or what Rumi would say, be focused on your heart. So, I am is now. It's not becoming anything, it's just you stop. And he said he took these words to his heart. And he was meditating all the time, and it was so strong that he just went into silence whenever he could, and more, and he was just doing puja for the guru, singing mantras, kirtan, and meditating in silence on I am. I'm not the one, this body. And he said, in 4 years, he was enlightened. That is, you can read about these stories, but it's not easy. This is a very evolved soul from before. But even him, he was totally dedicated for 4 years, only meditating on that. And then they asked, "How come it was so easy?" And he said, "Because I trusted my master. I did what my master told me." This is unwavering. He was totally focused on the master, on the truth. There was no doubt. So, if you have that kind of dedication, love, trust, then things can happen very, very quickly. But look at your mind, how many things, how many projections, how many doubts, how many ideas. And again you are gone. But it will have to come to that sooner or later, where you become focused, that you realize, this is what I want. Then things start happening very quickly. So that's why it has been quite difficult to face all this and to keep the heart open. That's why it's so important with satsang, with being with the master, because then you remember, and you need remembrance. You need to remember, because we've been living in forgetfulness. Now again you realize, you remember something else. That's why Buddha said that the master is the greatest gift. If you want to be free, that is the greatest gift. Because you cannot pull yourself up by your shoestrings. Then yesterday in satsang, I had an insight and I realized that throughout my whole life, my biggest fear has been to disappear. Since I was a child, I have had these glimpses of emptiness, so strong and so scary, because I didn't know how to deal with them. I remember I felt lost in a dark universe, alone and out of control. And with this fear of becoming crazy, crazy forever, it was so fearful. Yes. Since you were a child. Because the child comes in very pure, then suddenly he finds that spirit, find himself or herself in the physical body. So first the baby, he has no idea about himself. He look at the outside, the mother, the father, the people, all the people who come and do this stupid He's not aware of himself, he's just consciousness. But the consciousness is not aware of itself. That is the difference when enlightenment happens. Then you are conscious, but you are aware of it. So the child is in that space, but he's not aware. He hasn't gone through the learning. So in a way, it's set up in a way that you have to lose it, miss it, long for it, and then you know the value of it when you find it. I don't know who came up with that scam, but that's how it is. Then you really nurture it, enjoy it, because you know how it is to be lost. So first the child is looking outside. He is not aware of her own body. Then slowly, slowly you start getting identified with the body. Then is my body, and then is my mind, and then is my emotions, and then the whole packet goes more and more fatty. My. Then it becomes your story. Yeah, then you are only the body, only the mind, only your ideas, your way of thinking, perceiving the world. That becomes you. Then you have forgotten the consciousness that you really are. That is forgotten. Now you have become the body and the mechanism. So that the child just knows his fear. When you get identified with the body, which this has to happen when you are at a certain age, because if you are small enough, under 5 years old, then you are not afraid because you are in tune with existence. But after, then you get more and more identified. More and more identified, more and more fear. That's what we talked about yesterday. That's why everybody has fear, because identified with the body. So, this is what is happening in satsang. In satsang, I had this insight. I realized that throughout my whole life, my biggest fear has been to disappear. Since I was a child. Yes, to disappear, because identified with the body. And this is what everybody has to face, this fear. This is the fear of the ego, of the body. When you realize that you are more than the body, when you realize that you are deathless, birthless, then where's the fear? That is the whole point of meditation. The ultimate, that's where it wants to take you, is a training to come back, to face yourself. That is what the master is trying to teach you. Of course, the master has to teach in many, many, many different levels. Because you cannot understand the pure truth in the beginning. You have to grow into it as such. That's why so many different teachings. The truth is very simple. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj, he believed his master, finished. No ice skating, no nothing, no dramas, no relationship trips, no going astray, nothing, just toof. Then he never got hurt, he got happy. But that is one in a million. And that's what they say in India, that only 1 out of 10,000 people is interested in the truth. In self-realization, in meditation. And only 1 out of 1,000,000 get it. Just only 1 out of 1,000,000. And that is the truth. That's my own experience. But still in India it's so many millions that it's hundreds of enlightened beings. But taking a country like Norway, how did that happen? Since I was a child, I have had these glimpses of emptiness so strong and so scary because I didn't know how to deal with them. I remember I felt lost in a dark universe, alone and out of control. Yeah, alone and out of control because you are separate from existence. Then there is out of control, fear, panic. That's why from the very beginning the master start talking about surrender, relaxation, love, acceptance, going deeper, silence. Because it's bound, you are bound to disappear as you. When you are not separate from the existence, what is more blissful than? Like Kabir said, if this is dying, let me die 1,000 times. But that he says after he has died, after he is reborn, after he is enlightened. Before, That's why it's almost impossible without a master, because he has to go on reminding you. Otherwise, it's much easier to go downhill than to go uphill. You have to go against yourself. Osho said, to get rid of your ego, to wake up, is almost impossible if you don't meet someone who catches your heart, who catches your heart in such a way that you love that more than yourself. Because you recognize something. Only the heart can recognize that. And when the heart recognizes, then no fear, no idea can hold you back, because it knows. So all this has to do with the separation, which is the ignorance, which is the ego. And everybody has this. With this fear of becoming crazy, crazy forever. It was so fearful. Everybody has to face this. But then yesterday I realized that the nothingness and the emptiness I enjoy so much with you is the same that I avoid for the fear of becoming crazy. It's a paradox. But this is how the master is tricking you into it. You see, true fear when you're alone, it's impossible to go there. Because it's too fearful. But true love is easy. That's why my way is love. Because then something, as soon as you connect to that, everything is possible. That is the transformation. Now the same thing which is the most scary happens. And when it happens out of love, then is bliss. You see, out from you, out from the ego, out of separation, is fear. Because you disappear. But then you're coming from you, from the mind, from your identity. When you're coming from the self, from the heart, then it's bliss. Because you're coming home. Then we're all one, it's no separation. Then the universe is bliss. If you're only you, lost in space, like we had the Gravity movie, then some actor was flying around there. Julia Roberts Jr. or somebody. Then she is afraid, no? Anybody would be. Then why the fuck you want to go off there in the first place? But then yesterday I realized that the nothingness and the emptiness I enjoy so much with you is the same that I avoid for the fear of becoming crazy. Because to disappear in your love is the most beautiful feeling I can imagine. When I go into the nothingness space, I am the happiest woman on earth. And I come back full of love, of trust and joy. That is how beautiful the nothingness space is. And why is it that? Because it's real. Only the real can give you the best thing. And when I experience the same nothingness by myself, I get so scared. My mind gets so scared that I need some time to recover my contact with reality. I see very well how tricky my mind is and how beautiful at the same time. So please, Babaji, could you please teach me how to be in the same loving energy when I'm alone, so I can enjoy that space again by myself without any fear. In deep gratitude for loving me and for supporting me all the time, and for this incredible part I'm taking at your feet, Venu. It's just how it should be, Venu. And this is the connection with the Master. When I experience the same nothingness by myself, I get so scared. No, the next now is when you meditate, or when that happens, then remember the Master. That's what I did. And the Master is more powerful than any fear, because fear is of the mind. The Master is reality. That's why people, one of the oldest mantras in India, they said, please hold my hand. Only thing I'm asked for, please hold my hand. It's just because of this. I can't make it alone. I tried. No, I surrender. And in that surrendering, it happens. Thy will be done, he said. Please, Babaji, could you please teach me how to be in the same loving energy when I'm alone, so I can enjoy that space again by myself without any fear? Just somebody can enjoy that space, then it comes and goes. Why not be that space? That's what I'm trying to teach you. Why not be that space? If you're coming and going, it is always be fear, because when you're outside, then you are you. When you're inside, then you are bliss. So the whole thing slowly, slowly becoming that space, then there is no fear. That's where we're going. And I cannot teach you. Because there's no teaching, it's beyond any teaching. It's beyond any action, any words. But still, it's possible, it's happening. This is the mystery. Because it's in you, that knowledge, that wisdom, that bliss, it's there. You just have to trust it, that it's there. That you are not full of fear, you are full of love. That you are not darkness, you are light. That you are not confused, I'm God. That's what you have to trust. Then, the more and more, then also it's impossible to do any stupid things. Because love doesn't do stupid things. Light doesn't do dark things. That's why it cannot happen before it happens. You have to be clean enough. It's beyond any doing. It's beyond any teaching. But it's happening. And this is the preparation. So it's not any teaching, it's an understanding, it's the seeing, it's the clarity, it's an acceptance, it's a relief. That's what it is. It just dawns on you that this is how it is. And the more you feel it, the more unshakable you will be. And the deeper the love is, the deeper the trust is, and the deeper the connection with the Master is, and the deeper the connection with your own self it is. Because truth is one. God is one. Then I will go on a bit with Buddha, since we are here in such a nice Buddhist country. He says, I discovered that profound truth so difficult to perceive, difficult to understand. So tranquilizing and sublime, which is not to be gained by mere reasoning and is visible only to the wise. And what is the noble truth of suffering? Buddha says, birth is suffering, decay is suffering, death is suffering, sorrow, pain, grief and despair are suffering. Not to get one's desires is suffering. In short, the five groups of existence are suffering. So he said that all this life, birth, death is suffering. But it all comes down to one thing, and that is ignorance, forgetfulness, that we have identified ourselves with a person. Because only the body gets born, only the body dies. So if you're only identified with the body, it will be suffering. That's the first thing Buddha says, his first teaching. So now, what is the next, the origin of suffering? It is craving. It is desire. This is the origin of suffering, which gives rise to fresh rebirth and bound up with pleasure and lust, no here, no there, finds ever fresh delight. But where does this craving arise and take root? Wherever in the world there is delightful and pleasurable things, there are cravings, desires, and it takes root through the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. They are all delightful and pleasurable. There this craving arises and take root. So, this is why it's so important to study oneself. Because whatever comes from the outside, no, he says the I. Huh? You look outside, you forget yourself. You want that outside. You want that body, you want that money, you want that cloth, you want that jacket, you want that car, you want that image. You already forgotten yourself. You have become the outside, which is the unreal. So the I is the first. And the eyes have never been so polluted as it is now. Because all the time is fed by pictures, by images. It's never been close to being so bad as it is now. All the time on the computers, on the TV, on the movie, in the magazine, in the advertisement, everybody is full of it. And that has become totally natural. That's why it's so important to become aware. Come back. Don't look at the unimportant things. Become more aware what you are doing, what you are looking at, what you are involved in. The next is ear. The same thing. I don't think even Buddha had any idea how bad it would become. How much nonsense we are listening to. How many lies. How much bad music. How many bad things? The nose is so much pollution in the world. Everything is polluted in one way or the other. The tongue, the body, and the mind. So the pleasures that is so easy to get lost through the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind are delightful. This is where the craving arises and take root. So this is why it's so important to study oneself. What are you doing? What are you listening to? Where are you living? What are you watching? What is your interest? Is an absolutely must to slowly stop. Maybe in the beginning it's an effort because you've been a slave of the senses, of desires, of unconsciousness. You've been like a robot that is trained by the unconscious society. This is very, very hard to accept. It's shocking. That's what I mean by taking responsibility over yourself. It's very uncomfortable. That's why most people have no responsibility over themselves. Everybody is doing it, so let's be as stupid as everybody. It takes courage to step away, to start looking. Then you become more aware. Only when you become more aware and you see the results of being aware, then you feel good. Then it's easy. In the beginning it's difficult because you are used to living unconscious. Visual objects, sound, smell, taste, bodily impression and mind objects are delightful and pleasurable. There is this craving this craving arises and take root. It takes you away from yourself. Consciousness, sense impression, feeling born of sense impressions, perception, will, craving, thinking and reflection are delightful and pleasurable. This is where the craving arises and takes root. Then what? What is the extinction? What is the truth of extinction of suffering? It is the complete fading away and extinction of this craving. It's forsaking and abandonment, liberation and detachment from it. The extinction of greed, extinction of hate, extinction of delusion. This indeed is called nirvana. This fading away, this is what all the monks are doing that you see. If they are a true monk, they're trying to go beyond the craving, the greed, the hate, the delusion. But it's a very hard way because they are not conscious enough. To become conscious, to feel the shift, you need to have an enlightened being. Then it's much easier because you get the taste of how it is to be conscious. With consciousness, all this disappears. Of course, depending on how ignorant you are, how involved you are with your story, with your past. With Buddha, it's easy because he is the light. But to do it out of a confused mind is almost impossible because it's a doing. It's not an understanding. The understanding has to dawn inside you what you are doing to yourself. Then everything changes. You get different interests. My interest is not to give rules or that you have to work hard. I want to give you a taste of something and then everything is gone. It's a shift. You have to rise in your consciousness. Then there is not anything you have to work on as such. You just have to become more aware. In that light of awareness, things start dropping by themselves. Then that's again why it's so important to stay connected. Because the habit of the mind, of the darkness, comes when you are alone. Then you forget. And then you are with unconscious people. Then you again, you fall back to the old. You become the old. That again why Buddha says, better than to be with the unconscious one, be alone. If you cannot find a Sangha, be alone. This extinction of this is called nirvana, which is freedom. No, it's a party at the temple. Let's go. You see, Buddhist temple, everybody is picturing. Ooh, pong, om, mani padme om. But no, this is the other way. This is what they are desiring. That is what they hidden desires. Party. Let's get unconscious. Now we've been sitting, meditating, going, trying to go beyond greed for so many years. No excuse to go partying. It's totally amazing in Thailand. This is the party in the temple. And it's the worst music ever. even worse than Brazilian bad music. I have a neighbor in Brazil, simple farmer, and when the family comes in the weekend, then you're talking about that kind of music. So, since we haven't gone into silence yet, anybody who wants to enjoy and get known with the neighborhood, it's up to you. You see, we are coming from that. We want silence. You're coming here. Here is everybody effort to be a monk, and that's the partner. The world is crazy. You believe me now? Just enjoy it. Enjoy everything when it's there. One thing is for sure, they have invested in some good speakers. Buddha speakers. It's like it's the next room, and then it's like 1 kilometer down the road. May everyone be happy. Om Shanti. Have to turn out the volume, Hachita. Have to keep an eye on. I told you, not hold back. What is he?
thing.
Gave us something.